NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Weilin Wong. Darian, do you consider yourself a productivity hacker?
No. Do you?
I do not, but I have been, just through osmosis, exposed to all this advice out there about how to get more done and be super efficient. You know, tips like set a timer for 25 minutes to do focused work, or make all your meals for the week on Sunday.
Okay. I like to get a good night's sleep. That's my very vanilla productivity hack.
You cannot go wrong with a good night's sleep. And, you know, there's another tip that is also pretty evergreen. It's called the 80-20 rule. And if you go online, you can find people touting this rule for all kinds of personal improvement.
Whereas 20% of our time in our business accounts for 80% of the revenue.
Yeah. That is the 20% input that will give me 80% of the results.
You regularly wear 20% of the clothes you have for 80% of the things you do.
Great advice if you're using half your closet to do podcasting in.
Oh my God. I was going to say. So the 80-20 rule is also known as the Pareto Principle, and it traces back to the work of an Italian economist who lived over a century ago.
And before it became this rallying cry for productivity influences, the Pareto Principle took hold in the business world. For decades, it's shaped how companies manufacture and market their products.
Today on the show, we look at where the 80-20 rule comes from, how it became so widely adopted in the business world, and whether it really holds up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR.
The Pareto Principle, stated simply, is this. 80% of outcomes are generated by 20% of causes. Tony McKee is a director at a think tank called the Decision Lab, and that uses behavioral science to advise corporations and governments. And he says that the 80-20 rule is a mainstay in the management consulting field.
It was almost like not an old wives' tale, but
an aphorism?
Yes, exactly. You know, something that was said, and you kind of assume that it's got some grain of truth to it, but maybe you also assume that it's not necessarily grounded in kind of a real empirical observation. And the interesting piece was to then discover that actually, no, there is a little bit of substance to it.
In fact, a real empirical observation is where the story begins. The 80-20 rule made its first appearance in Italy in the late 1800s, and it showed up in the work of a scholar named Vilfredo Pareto.
Vilfredo Pareto was an Italian polymath, and he actually started off as a civil engineer, becoming a fairly renowned liberal economist, you know, fierce critic of regulation, pro-free markets, you know, sort of guy.
And it was during his economist era in the late 1800s that he made an observation. He calculated that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by about 20% of the population.
This was then generalized out to 80% of income, as well as 80% of wealth, were either generated or held by roughly 20% of individuals within a particular country, and then that was later generalized out to globally as well.
Pareto's observation on land ownership and income is what's known as a power law distribution. In statistics, a power law describes a relationship where a small change in one thing can cause a big change in another thing. So 20% of the Italian population controlling 80% of the land, that's a kind of power law.
And Turney says the big takeaway was the distribution, not the specific numbers.
There's some fuzziness around there. He actually found that Britain was more 70-30. So 80-20 is really one specific embodiment of a Pareto distribution.
Pareto died in 1923. Decades later, a management consultant in the U.S. named Joseph Juran applied Pareto's 80-20 concept to business. He called it the Pareto Principle. And he said, if you look around, you'll see it's practically universal. Joseph Juran's endorsement of the Pareto Principle enshrined the 80-20 rule as a foundational concept for corporate CEOs and business consultants.
And interestingly, there are examples in business and economics where the Pareto Principle shows up. Microsoft, for example, has said that 20% of common bugs in software causes 80% of system failures. In healthcare, there's research showing that 20% of Medicare patients account for 80% of spending.
But then there are also plenty of examples where the numbers don't line up neatly with this 80-20 distribution. Jan-Benedict Steenkamp is a marketing professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
It was explained to me in my marketing courses that, say, 20% of your customers account for 80% of your sales. You know, I think there is also something snappy in it.
It is snappy.
Sounds good, and it's easy to remember.
Easy to remember, but did this distribution actually hold up? Several years ago, Jan Benedict went on vacation, and for some light reading, he brought along a book that took a hard look at the 80-20 rule in marketing.
I was on a wonderful cruise ship in the Mediterranean. So how bad is it to be actually reading those books while being on a wonderful cruise? But anyway, I just wanted to get myself also a little bit cognitively stimulated. So I read those things.
Now, this cognitively stimulating book written by a professor in Australia looked at sales numbers for different consumer brands. And it determined that, in general, a relatively small number of customers did account for a large portion of sales. But it wasn't 80% of sales. It was more like 60%.
And this finding caught Jan Benedict's attention. So he did his own research using what's called consumer panel data. This is data that tracks what households actually buy. And he focused on consumer packaged goods. These are everyday items like groceries and toiletries.
I did find a whole lot, I mean, very significant evidence that the 80-20 principle, at least when it comes to sales, just doesn't hold.
It just doesn't hold. Jan Benedict could not find this 80-20 distribution, whether he was looking at sales of Pampers diapers in Germany or Tropicana orange juice in the United Kingdom.
I looked at many different brands, different countries, different product categories, and I didn't find a single one in which it held. I found that the heavy users account for about 50% of your sales.
50%, not 80%. And Jan Benedict says this is a meaningful distinction because companies tend to spend marketing dollars on their biggest superfans. But if those heavy users actually only represent 50% of sales,
you're essentially ignoring half of your total sales. I don't think there are many companies which would say that would make a lot of sense.
So for Jan Benedict, the 80-20 rule is not useful when people in his field take it literally. But the general principle, what Pareto found over a century ago, that can be helpful. There is a real observable mathematical phenomenon where a small number of causes generates a large number of outcomes.
We see this power law distribution in the population of big cities and in workplace accidents. And we continue to see it in wealth inequality, just like Pareto did. For Turning McKee, it's pretty compelling stuff.
You know, I think people have a tendency to assume that issues are distributed kind of uniformly. There's this kind of intrinsic and inherent assumption that things are equal in their contributions. So I think the initial observation that not all is equal, that's actually kind of a valid way to approach everything from computer programming to, you know, occupational safety. It becomes a pretty powerful insight.
The thing I like about the Pareto Principle is it's kind of nonsense, but also kind of built into the fabric of mathematics. Like, there is something real there.
I wonder if, like, 20% of Indicator listeners are responsible for 80% of our downloads.
What should we call these people?
Ooh, how about Leading Indicators?
That's a really good name.
This episode was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Robert Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Sarah Juarez and edited by Kate Kincannon. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
we saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.